You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to this edition of the Irish Racing Podcast. I'm Andy Holding, taking a look at a 7-race card at Leopardstown on this Sunday, January the 22nd, where of course the highlight comes in the shape of the big 2-mile handicap hurdle. The car, i.e. hurdle, which is extended handicap of course, and it brings together a very star-studded and intriguing field, of course, none more so by the entry of Heartbreak City, who potentially could be quite very well handicapped. But we're going to start with the opener, which comes up at 1:10, which is a 2-mile mare's maiden hurdle. All eyes here are going to be on Bargy Lady, of course, being trained by Willie Mullins, who's got an amazing array of female talent in his midst. And this horse, albeit she was a beaten 7-4 favourite last time out at Fairy House, she still ran to a fairly decent standard. The time figure that race, which was produced by the winner Montana Bell, was a pretty good one. So she definitely sets the standard here and is a worthy favourite. But at the prices this morning, I'd probably be certainly inclined to go each way on Toe the Line from the John Keeley stable, who, technically speaking, has a little bit to find with Willie Mullins' charge off the back of that run at Fairy House. But I've just got a sneaky feeling that this slightly better ground today at Leopardstown will certainly help this mare by Shonto, who's got some good form on the flat, enlisted and grade 3 company, no more so than when finishing reasonable fourth in the November handicap in 2015 behind Silver Concord. And a performance of that nature will definitely give it a bit of a squeak here. Just been a bit unlucky, like I say, so far this season, due to the fact that she's been running on heavy ground and trips that have been stretching her stamina. But she should be more at home today under today's conditions. And at 5-1 this morning, she represents solid each way value.
Race 2.
On to race number 2 then, which is a 2-mile-2 maiden hurdle. And the first thing to say is that we haven't got any representatives from the Willie Mullins stable, which is a little bit of a shock, but we do have Ruby Walsh riding the favourite here in the shape of Capital Force as he rides for Henry de Bromhead here. And this horse ran perfectly reasonably last time out in a race that was won by one of Willie Mullins's, called Bacardi's. That was on the 27th of December. Tried to make the run in that day, but just couldn't quite go with the front two or three as they quickened by it, turning into the home straight. But it was a reasonable effort, and I'm sure Capital Force will go well here. But it makes no appeal to me at putting up at 4-6, so therefore we are going to look for a little bit of an each way alternative. And look no further than Alan Fleming's Harold Petto, who has run two respectable races so far over hurdles to date, particularly his last run when he was fifth behind one of William Mullins's, called Montel Barno. Now, the time figure that race is exceptionally good. It was the best race on the card, furlong per furlong over hurdles. And I do like the way this horse was keeping on quite nicely from the back of the field. Obviously, third run for a handicap mark could be the potential scenario today, but I'm hoping that he runs on his merits, because he certainly showed enough stability, if he does, to be in the first three at the very least. And we can get 9-1 with William Hill this morning. So Harold Pitto is the each way choice in race number 2.
Race number 3.
On to race number 3 then, which is one of the best races on the card. And it gives punters at Leopardstown today another chance to see York Hill strutty strut over the larger obstacles. Now, of course, there are plenty of other alternatives later on in the season for York Hill. We're not sure which race he'll line up in at the Cheltenham Festival, of course. Could it be the Arkell? Could it be the JLT? Or maybe he could be parachuted in to the Champion Hurdle if all things don't go well with Annie Power and Forheen. But for now, he's obviously a very talented horse, particularly over fences, and his career should continue in the right direction here today with a fault-free round. I thought he jumped particularly well at Fairy House on his chase debut, albeit to the left at times. And he's certainly got the class anyway to dispose of today's field. So therefore, I think if we're looking for a bet in the race, I think the angle is probably finding the horse to chase William Mullins' charge home. And I would probably go with Gangster to do that job quite comfortably here. I thought he ran really well behind American Tom first time at Punchestown. And he looked as though he got a race in safekeeping here last time out on the 28th of December. Unfortunately, Blue A Rouge had something to say about that when he put in a power pack finish on the running to pip Henry de Bromhead's charge late on, but he was well clear of the rest and I thought he jumped really well. So we know he goes round Leopardstown fine. He's over the same course and distance, and like I say, repeater, that should be enough to chase home your girl at the very least. So he's the choice there without the favourite in race number three.
Race four.
On to race four then, which is the 2-4. It's a 2-mile 5 handicap chase, and this is one of the big betting races of the day. 6-1 the field at time of recording. And one of the ones that are fancied at the top end of the market is my number one choice, which would be Gordon Elliott's Atois Phil, who's made a decent start to his life over fences so far, winning a Grade 2 at Punchestown. That was the Florida Pearl Novices Chase, beating a stellar field on that occasion. The likes of Jetstream Jack and Disco and Space Cadet were all in behind on that occasion. He was a bit of a flop next time out, you could say, in the Drimmore, when he didn't really get into the race. But, of course, that's red-hot Grade 1 company, so you could forgive him that. Next time out here at Leopardstown, he once again tried Grade 1 company. And he looked to be going a good deal better on that occasion than he did the time before. But he just stamina, unfortunately, his petrol gauge flashed on empty, and his stamina was very much a weakness in the latter stages, and he ended up finishing a well-beaten fifth in the end. But dropping back in trip here to 2-mile 5, obviously around a track that we know he goes well at. The class of a toy Phil for Mark 143 should see him run well there. The other one to mention in the race at a much bigger price is Total Recall from the Sandra Hughes stab. Now, Sandra's had a bit of a couple of seasons. She's been in the doldrums for a while, but there are signs in the last few months that things are beginning to turn for the County Kildare handler. And this horse was one of the success stories of her season so far, when winning on the 18th of December at Navan, jumping really nicely to get the job done fairly efficiently in the end, beating not a bad field in a decent time figure. If you go back to its run, three starts ago and fourth behind Annabelle Fly, Martello Town, Gertie, you can tell that the kind of class that this horse has been keeping in recent times. So a mark of 130 off 10 stone with Roger Locker on board, I could see Total Recall outrunning its odds at 16-1 this morning, and is definitely worth a saver there in race four.
Race five.
On to race five then, which is the big race of the day. It's the Coral Handicap Hurdle over 2 miles. All eyes here, quite rightly, are going to be on Heartbreak City. On his hurdle reappearance, of course, we haven't seen him over timber since taking a handicap hurdle at the Galway Festival, but it's his exploits on the flat which definitely make him potentially very well handicapped here. Of course, he was runner-up in the Melbourne Cup at back in November, and it was also a decent effort when he took the Ebor at the York Festival back in August. So that's the kind of horse he's become on the level. Unfortunately, the only two negatives I could find are the ground today at Leopardstown. Will it be too soft for this horse? Well, time will only tell. And the only time he shipped up here at Leopardstown, he was a well-beaten 17 of 23 in the 2015 running of the November handicap behind Silver Concord. So pays your money, takes your choice. 9-4 this morning with William Hill. Don't think he's particularly that appetising for me. So therefore, I'm going to look for a little bit of each-way thievery in the shape of Vaynard from the Gordon Elliott stab. Now, Gordon had 4 or 5 horses entered up at the 5-day stage, so it could be quite significant that he's only got one horse left to do duty for him. The likes of Mick Jazz and plenty of other fancied horses were due to run, likes of Discarto County. So, like I say, I think the fact that he's only running one has got to be some kind of indication that he really does fancy this horse today. And his form so far this season has been pretty good. He's definitely been on the improve. I thought he won quite easily early on in the season, and his performances in handicaps have definitely been eye-catching to say the very least. I thought he was going to win here at Leopardstown on the 27th of December over the course and distance when he swooped to the front after a powerful run from off the home turn, only to make a bad mistake at the last and handed on a platter to the fast finishing That's a Wrap. But that certainly suggested to me he's up to winning or going well in a race of this nature. You can forget his last run, although he didn't run too badly behind in the monsoon. The ground was too heavy for him and it very much became a test of the sluggers rather than the horses that travel and can quicken well. So, like I say, he probably could be forgiven for that defeat at short price favour. But he's 16-1 here today with William Hill, and I do think that represents decent each way value in the big race of the day.
Race number 6.
On to the 3:40 then, the penultimate contest. Not too much of an opinion here. If you gave me a sneaky fiver each way, I'd probably stick it on Diamond Couture, particularly now as Ruby Walsh takes over in the saddle. I thought this horse travelled really well in his latest run at Fairy House. He looked the likely winner, but Shanak came from the back of the pack, and that course and distance regular was just too strong for him in the finish. But he was well clear of Sutton Manor, who was a strongly fancied horse on that occasion. So he's obviously going to be there or thereabouts, you'd imagine, today from the Sue Bramwell stable.
And the final race.
On to the final race then, and a trappy looking but intriguing bumper all the same. I'd probably go with the course and distance form of Backmaj, who chased down the very highly regarded Carter Mackay on his racecourse debut. Of course, Carter Mackay has been talked upon as a potential for the Cheltenham Festival bumper later on in the season. So the fact that this horse was only beaten 2.5 lengths and finishing well clear of the rest suggests that he ran up to a really decent standard first time off the shelf. With the potential of improvement to come and a slightly better ground, likely to suit, I'd expect Backmarsh to justify favouritism in the final race. Thanks very much for listening to this edition of the Irish Racing Podcast. And we'll be back online at Dundalk on Friday for another 8-race bonanza. So please do tune in for then. Until then, it's goodbye for me for now.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.